open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. We want to go back to Matthew chapter 2 where we ended last time. And again this evening, we ask you to get your pens and paper and write down these scriptures that you may go over them and review them that you may grow thereby. Last time we were together in this chapter, we looked at Matthew and we started with the lineage of Christ and how Matthew compared it with Luke. We now know Luke referred to the lineage according to David, and Matthew spoke according to the kings of Judah. Both of them concluded or finished with Joseph. We also know what it means to be espoused and how it differs from our customs in being engaged. We know an angel came to Joseph in a dream and came to Mary in person. The angel being sent to Joseph in this manner protected the reputation of Mary and the image of Christ. In chapter 2, we saw the attitude of Herod. He was a tyrant and had no desire to worship Christ but kill him. The wise men followed the star to where Jesus was born. Isaiah told us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He also said, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." When the wise men left to follow the star, Herod said to them, "Send me word." But when they did not return, this is what Herod did in verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. The word mock means to mimic, but in the Bible it means to treat disrespectfully. Herod's intent was to send executioners and kill Jesus. And since he was disappointed, he tried to accomplish it by putting all the children in the place to death. The original Greek and the circumstances of the case makes it appear it was only the male children whom he ordered to be put to death. He even had one of his own sons killed. A man named Augustus said, "It is better to be Herod's hog than his son, for the hog had a better chance of living." This is how treacherous and persistent Herod was. This is like when Pharaoh had all the male children killed trying to get to Moses. Verse 17 said, "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they were not. In Bethlehem, the mothers cried bitterly because their children were being slain. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt." In verse 13, the angel told Joseph to wait until I send word. Here in verse 20, the angel appears in a dream again and said, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." I'm learning when you are instructed to do something, God has a reason and he will fulfill it. All we need to do is wait on God. You may not see it then, but be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. No weapon formed against you can or will prosper. God will remove the obstacles that will harm you. But if you go in your own might and strength, you may hinder the obstacles from being removed. How many have experienced things like this already? Verse 21, and he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his mother Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. This was one of Herod's many sons, and this son partook of the cruel and bloody thirsty disposition of his father. At one of the Passovers, he caused 3,000 of the people to be put to death in the temple and city. So Joseph hesitated about going, and God directed him to go to Galilee, a place of safety. Verse 23 says, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. God knew about Joseph's fears. But just like with us today, all things work together for the good. We must learn to be patient and wait on the Lord. Now let's go to chapter 3. In those days, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. We understand a lot happened between the second and the third chapter. There was much that already took place. You will find it recorded in Luke how Simeon, a man that was just and devout, he was told he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. He said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And there was one Ananias, a prophetess. She was of great age. She came in that instant and gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. And Jesus grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You'll find all of this and more in the second chapter of Luke. However, Jesus is now grown up. So in verse 2 of Matthew 3, we see John preaching repentance and the kingdom of God. Verse 2 says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John is the forerunner of the kingdom and Jesus. A forerunner means the one that comes before. John introduced the kingdom of God, but Jesus came and explained it. Malachi 3:1 said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 3 of Matthew, John goes on to say, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his remnant of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. The plainness of John the Baptist's habit and diet is declared here. His example teaches us that the ministers of the gospel are not about apparel or delicacy in diet, but to have the necessary and needful things of life, to be therewith content. The way preachers dress and the excessive eating while owning 2 and 3 homes and cars and the congregation in need, this is ridiculous and should not be. Verse 6 says, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Note, here are 4 things that they did, but we don't see today. Confession was voluntary and not by constraint. It was general and not of every particular sin in detail. It was public and open, not in the ear of a priest. It was a confession of sin committed before baptism and not after they were baptized. John the Baptist was the first person to give baptism to anyone. However, the first baptism was given by God. When the earth was destroyed by water in Noah's time, this was the first baptism done of God. The second was by God with Moses and the Red Sea. So when we look at verse 7, it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Today, we should come and be baptized for the right reason. Don't do it because dad or mom did it or ask you to, or because you are of age in your church. Do it because you see the truth and want to walk in the truth. Here is the Pharisees' problem. Verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. See, this is what they were saying to Jesus in the book of John. We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Being the seed of Abraham does not make you free. Being of any race does not make you saved. Your last name or what your dad does not give you the right. Listen to what it says in John chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Mm-hmm. The world was created by Jesus, and his own still didn't know him. Colossians tells us, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 11 of John 1 said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own being the Jews. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, meaning the right and privilege. Verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Salvation is not hereditary or passed on. It cannot be negotiated by flesh. You cannot be voted in by what you give. And it cannot be handed down because of who you are. It was bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. Back to Matthew 3 and 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. God's vengeance was ready to be executed if they did not repent and turn to him. How many can see that now? It is because of Jesus this has not happened. Let's look at a parable in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. God is patiently while Jesus finishes his work. It is because of Jesus the vengeance of God has not begun. Jesus prayed and died for us that we might have this opportunity. Back to Matthew 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Our souls is being purged from the shaft of the flesh. John is saying, when I am doing and what you are willing to do externally, God will send someone to complete it internally. And I am not even worthy to wear the shoes he has. In layman's terms, I am just a line worker. Jesus is the CEO. The job he has to do is way above my pay grade. Verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? You know how the world says game recognizes game, but this ain't no game. John can see Jesus is the real deal. Just like a parent can tell when their child is lying, John could tell and knew Jesus was not just another man. He was the Son of God. And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, do it anyway. We can look at this in many different ways, but let's just look at it like this. If Jesus knew no sin, if Jesus who is perfect, if Jesus who never did wrong was baptized, then we should follow his example. Since we have not reached perfection yet, Jesus never asked us to do anything that he would not do himself. Verse 16 says, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Saints, when you repent for rejecting Jesus and who he is, when you receive him as your Savior, when you are baptized after those reasons, don't think for a moment that God is not pleased. You have now moved from darkness into his light. You have been adopted and have become his child. You now have access to the throne. You can ask him what you will and talk with him. You have become an heir and a joint heir. Most of all, you have become royal. Believe me, God is pleased. Let's close with this last scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is what it says. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. With that, my time is up. And I truly thank you for yours.